Hello, everybody. Welcome back to S&P Now. This is episode 48 from May 27th. Josh, sponsoring us today?
This week's episode is brought to you by Julie Zook with Silver Legacy Realty. It's a great time to sell your house because inventory is low. Julie Zook with Silver Legacy Realty is a lifelong resident of the Silver Valley. She's a local realtor who is connected and knows every nook and cranny of our beautiful community. Contact Julie at 208-659-1764. She's your best friend in real estate.
Is that on her business cards?
Is it on her business cards?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. You're the one buying a house with her.
That's true. That's true. I should know that. You but should. Then again, I don't have, like, I didn't need one of her business cards.
Yeah, we just know. We got Julie in our phones.
Fair enough. Before we go any further, also joining us again today, Monica Miller.
Can't get rid of me. Not going anywhere.
I was waiting for her to be like, hello! Like, come in with her own intro.
Uh-huh.
Just restart the podcast.
It'd be good.
Thanks for joining us.
Now, Josh, who really is sponsored? I'm like stepchild.
I do like the decor in here.
Oh, man. Oh.
Words that were created on the S&P Now.
Home decor.
I like that. I like that. Welcome back, everybody. We're happy to be talking to you after Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
Josh, Monica, how was your three-day weekend?
My dad turned 60 on Sunday, so we had a big family birthday party.
Okay.
That was kind of fun.
Sweet.
We had graduations that we kind of kept an eye on. And,
sure.
You know, outside of, I mean, we didn't have the normal.
We didn't. And I was about to announce that in a second. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Monica, how was your weekend?
It was good. I think I know what you're getting to. I didn't do anything fancy. I did hear about a little bit of a weird death, though, if that's what you're.
We did have a weird death,
but.
What was a death that
but you... we're not counting it.
Oh, so. Okay, what did you have? What's yours?
So.
Is it the same?
So, as we mentioned on the last episode, it has been a very grim tradition here in the Silver Valley that someone always dies in the Silver Valley on Memorial Day weekend.
Usually.
Due to a preventable incident,
yes.
Or what I like to refer to it as.
Well, so, okay, preventable incident, no. Due to.
No, preventable incident.
An accident.
Sure.
Due to an accident.
Preventable incident, I mean.
Technically, a heart attack is a preventable incident.
No, the guy was, guy's old. Guys, we'll get to that. You're selling the story.
You have to take into account like genetics and stuff.
That's you're true. Selling the story here. You're selling the story here.
Like if I had a heart attack right now, it was preventable.
I'm
drinking bubbly right now because I lived
a health drink.
Because you're young.
I lived a lifestyle that made heart attack preventable.
You're living the lifestyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
The anti-keto.
Tell me about this death because it is the same death that I have.
Okay, so it is our displeasure to report that on, I believe it was Saturday, emergency crews with Shoshone County Fire District 1 responded to the Mullen Cemetery to an elderly gentleman who had a heart attack and passed away. While this does technically... Is a death on Memorial Day weekend. It's not in the same vein as what we normally classify as the death on this weekend. The year before was kids shooting fireworks out of a car.
A freshly graduated kid.
Yes.
Shot fireworks out of the car, and then the car lost control. And
One of the fireworks that was lit fell into the vehicle.
Went off in the car. The year before that was the...
River.
The river person falling.
Woman who slipped and fell into the river.
Yeah. And then one before that was an ATV accident.
Mm-hmm.
Like a side-by-side accident, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. And the year before that was a dirt bike.
Right.
Yes. So while it does, we're not going to count it. So, but unfortunately, that person did pass away. They were, ironically enough, up putting down flowers on Memorial Day for Memorial Day weekend at the cemetery. So sad incident for sure, but we're not counting it. So... The streak has been broken.
The streak has been broken, which goes right into one of your stories.
Somebody did. They tried, though. If those who follow our Facebook page, we had a multi-motorcycle crash on Memorial Day.
Yeah, people tried.
We had a rollover ATV accident Sunday night.
Sunday night. I woke up to you text me about that.
Yeah, there was definitely... people were definitely pushing the boundaries.
They made some noble attempts.
Yeah, but they were thwarted.
They were thwarted.
By somebody.
Life.
Well, hey, life. Kudos to if there was anybody out there that assisted to that. So, like, maybe increased patrols from the sheriff's office
first responders, any
little bit that probably helped that. Good for them.
Yeah, yeah, for
able to break the streak.
So
let's jump into Tuesday headlines.
So Tuesday headlines. So
this no Friday kind of, headlines. Friday. Sorry.
Friday chips are my favorite.
Friday, May 22nd.
Which led to my heart attack. Not Bakley. I don't like Bakley. I like Friday.
We can kind of tie this headline story in with our centerpiece on our
Friday, yeah. So Friday paper. Headline: A Ceremony to Remember. I reached out to some principals last week from our East End graduates. So that's, Mullen and Wallace High School. Mullen actually had double digits in their graduating class. So shout out Mullen for, the biggest graduating class they've had in, 20 years probably. But these schools had to put on some pretty unique graduations, to say the very least.
Yes.
Mullen, they took basically their graduating class and let them have only their immediate guardians or parents.
And they shifted venue.
Yeah.
Normally held in the old gymnasium in the school.
The tiny gym.
Yep.
The lovingly dubbed tiny gym.
Mm-hmm.
They moved it to the pavilion.
Yep.
And it was each kid got their immediate parents or guardians along with, I believe it was Don Kochevar.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mayor, yeah?
Mayor, principal.
Yes. Shout out to Counselor Heather Brandstetter. She hooked us up with some of the information for the scholarship story we'll get to in a little bit. But she wasn't even
She wasn't allowed in there. Stetson, the athletic director, wasn't allowed in there. I don't even know if Superintendent Les Wells was there. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. But a super intimate ceremony.
Didn't you take photos?
They wouldn't let him.
I was not allowed to go to the Mullen one. I did go to Wallace, though, because it was held outdoors.
Yeah. So did you know that beforehand, or did you show up, camera ready? And they were
I called them earlier that day to see if I could.
So the photo that we actually used, there was a screenshot that I grabbed out of the video that they're live.
They did a live feed.
Yeah, they did a live feed.
Oh, he's backwards.
They're balloons. They're balloons, so it can.
I got it.
Yeah.
I thought it was mirrored or something.
Not a mirror.
Okay, jeez. So
we'll get to that in a second because our listeners have no idea what you're talking
ahead.
About.
I'm sorry, I pointed out.
The
I just talked to the principals and asked them what it meant for them to have these ceremonies. Wallace also did a hybrid drive-in one. We're still not entirely sure if they've followed all the rules, what's done is done.
Right.
And for them, they just talked about how this is a rite of passage, and it's important for these kids to have this milestone in their life.
Uh-huh.
And, Chris Lund really talked, Principal Chris Lund at Wallace High School really talked about how if you miss these kinds of things, it could potentially leave just like a hole. And they don't want to cause these kids to have any more negative memory than they already do from this situation.
Sure.
Don Kochevar, principal up at Mullen High School, pretty much echoed the same sentiments and just kind of wished his kids well. Like, if it's the last time I see him, I hope that they, go on and live long, prosperous lives. So just kind of a cool thing. We'll be covering Kellogg's ceremony this week.
Which will be held on?
That's on Saturday at, I think two.
Two sound feels right.
One or two. It's always early afternoon and
similar format to Wallace.
Similar format to Wallace with the drive up and everything. I'm hoping that Simon's there with his drone because I feel like that's
Simon Miller.
Yes, Simon Miller, the other Miller. The other Miller.
If you want to, experience with him, you can go back and listen to our episode where we interviewed him.
Yeah, good listen there. Hopefully he's there with his drone, get some drone footage or something.
We should bring him back in.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
But yeah, just kind of a good story. I found really good art to go with it. I think I like the art almost more than the story. It's a picture of a cap? Well, it's cap, but what is the actual name for it?
A fez?
That's what Aladdin wears.
Mortarboard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mortarboard.
Nice. And the diploma, and then there's, a little COVID floating around.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't even notice the COVIDs.
Yeah, the little yellow COVIDs there. So, yeah.
Good job.
Great job, Josh.
Oh, thank you.
Great. Nice work. Reporting.
In the upper right-hand corner, just a small announcement. I mean, it's moot point now, but unfortunately, because of the pandemic, all the normal Memorial Day festivities, like the JROTC doing a ceremony up at the various Silver Valley cemeteries for veterans, was canceled. There was nothing to do this year.
I'm still salty about the AP canceling their contest.
Yep.
Because last year my wife and I both took pictures that I think would have competed against one another.
Yes.
For a fun.
Monica, the Associated Press holds a newspaper contest every year, or normally speaking.
Right.
That's a winner.
And we have award-winning photographs from those contests, but they did not hold it this year, so.
The AP just not loving us right now.
Just hang on to him for next year.
To be fair, no one participated. It's not like we were excluded.
We win awards, Chance. We don't miss them because they got canceled. We win awards.
Yes, we do. MVPs. We can win even when they don't hold the contest.
Right. So you had the centerpiece and
I did.
Part of the beautification process in old Wallace.
Yes. A headline on that, Oh Pretty Flowers. Wallace Flower Project assembles hanging baskets. So basically with we just talked about an event getting canceled because of the pandemic. It was kind of a cool thing that this was not canceled. The Wallace Flower Project, it's a group committed to basically beautifying the city of Wallace. Kellogg does a similar process as well with hanging baskets and whatnot. But this is it's not something as you just go to the store and buy like you would think it is. This is a very much team effort.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke with, let's see here, Wallace Flower Project President. Boy, that's a tongue twister.
Elmer
Matilla.
I know Elmer.
Yeah. Elmer is the president now for them. It used to be Art Fleming forever.
Mr. Fleming.
Uh-huh.
Art Fleming.
Yeah. So, been going on for 23 years now. This year, they order the flowers from the same exact place, and we're able to basically get all these volunteers together to put these flower baskets together. You would think that when you order these things, they come pre-arranged. Like, a truck shows up, and you just pull these hanging baskets out. No, it's flowers are individually put in their specific individual pots.
Because it's like a basket,
yep.
And then, like, the grassy, mossy, like...
It's like filler.
Like the pre-bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put the plant in it, and they fill it with soil, and then they put that in the little pre-bowl into the basket, and the basket goes and gets hung up. Right?
Correct. Exactly. So I also was able to speak with Sarah Murphy on this one.
I'm really glad you did that.
Yeah, huh?
Because if you hadn't, I would have been disappointed.
She's our flower consigliere.
She is. that is a very good title. She should make that. So they spent this year $4,200 on flowers. This, according to Matilla, this is pretty common, pretty standard, on par with what they do.
$4,200. I misheard you. I thought you said $42,000, and I was like,
no, not $42,000. That would be a lot of money for flowers.
I was like, man, they'd be fundraising for that pool, but they're dropping $42,000 on flowers, man.
Let's fill the pool with flowers.
What?
So the flowers arrived on May 13th and were unloaded by volunteers. Then on May 15th, members of the Wallace Flower Project began assembling the baskets. So there, like you said, there's the metal liner and then there's the actual like soft liner. Started putting those together. And then on May 16th, members of the community, over 40 people, showed up to put the flowers, roughly 8 of them per basket, in, assembled them, and hung them up in the Wallace Flower Project's greenhouse. To be hung. What's
so
today?
They have like time to bloom for like 2-3 weeks, and then they.
Today's the 26th.
Sarah referred it to as harden off, meaning that they get adjusted to their new environment, sharing a basket with them, getting used to the temperature changes, that kind of thing.
Right.
So they'll be hung up probably in early June, and they're pretty happy about that.
Back like 10, 11 years ago, I worked for the city of Wallace,
mm-hmm.
for their roads crew.
Yeah.
Every morning I had to fill this big old tank and ride around on a four-wheeler and water those suckers. And then on like the hot days, we had to do it like at the beginning and at the end. Oh man, that was...
Watering flower baskets is the real deal.
Yeah.
Like that, like I know in the, because the chamber takes, Silver Valley Chamber takes care of all of the city of Kellogg's. Uh-huh. So the city doesn't pay for them the chamber does all that stuff. So they have to find somebody to water them, like a volunteer. And nobody wants to do it. Like, at first, everybody always is really enthusiastic at first. And they're like, hell yeah, I'll drive around and just water flowers all day in the sun. It sounds great. Like, I'll just cruise. And then, like, halfway through the summer, they're like, I'm over it. Or they get busy. They can't do it. Right. So watering those things is a legit job. It's super tedious.
Well, because you have to, like, you can't just do it on one tank. Hmm. Like, this is an investment. Because now, like, you have to factor in the people who are watering. You have to go get gas. You have to fill in the, fill the tank up. You have to have a pump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the pump is, like, the worst thing.
It's so weird, but...
And it takes forever. Because you have to, like, it's not just, like, where you're watering flowers at home, where you, like, dump, like, you're like, okay, here's my watering can, splash, splash. It's like, you have to, like, hold it up, and because the baskets are big, yeah? Like, pretty, like, bigger than you would normally
get. And you have to fill it until, like, there's, like, a steady stream coming out the bottom.
Yeah, so you
bottom.
Have to, like, hold it up. You have to hold your arm up there and, like...
It's an undertaking, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Like,
it's quite the thing. Yeah.
It's cool that you wrote that story, but like the process, like I
just, once they're hung up,
yes. Man, they are brutal to maintain. It is not.
Well, Kellogg's doing something similar here too. Here soon, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
They'll have their hanging baskets up.
Maybe we'll get another story.
Maybe.
It is only fair.
Yeah. It is only fair. Nope, excluding Kellogg.
So we kind of already talked about the streak being broken and the SCSO kind of.
Yeah. So this is a story that I write before every Memorial Day weekend. Basically, let's break the streak. And
don't die.
Like we talked about before, we did break the streak. No one died because of a recreational...
Nothing foolish caused a death.
Exactly. So, thankfully that happened. Big shout out to the sheriff's office for, stepping up enforcement on this weekend and making sure everybody was safe.
Like you said, those first responders.
Keeping
the people that did try, keeping them alive.
District 2 and District 1, right? Yeah, I mean, they were definitely busy. Yeah. They were definitely busy.
Other story on the side rail is just a recap from our interview last week with Scott Albertson and Kelton Enich about the Jackass Half Marathon. Are you a runner?
No, I hate running.
Okay.
So
I was curious
much.
If you were one of the 175 people that they have registered for that right now.
I am not yet because I'm still on the fence about it, but... if I did it, I want to sign up. I'd either want to be number 200 or number 222 because 2 is my lucky number. Okay. So I'm going to wait a little bit. I'm going to think it out. But I do know a ton of people are signed up for that. It's a really, really cool event. And Scott and Kelton are working so hard on Scott and Kelton and the rest of the group that are working on that. But Scott and Kelton are definitely like the front runners in getting that out.
I'm looking forward to covering it. I think it's going to be a good time.
I think you should cover it from...
The point of view of a runner?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'll get a hoverboard.
Yeah. You know who has one of those?
Who?
Well, Simon has one of those remote control skateboard doodads.
Oh, yeah, I think there might be a weight limit on it. We're going to reinforce this bad boy.
You have two of them? I don't know.
Two of them? Strap them on my feet.
Marty McFly?
Yeah, it'd be great.
I like it.
Bottom of the front, EPA to begin 9 Mile Creek work.
This had some comments on the Facebook.
Yeah, well, people just get salty about anything the EPA does, and
poor... EPA is like a four-letter word, right?
Yeah. You of all people know the evils of the EPA. Courtesy your madre.
I know secondhand.
Yeah.
I know one person's version of feelings towards the EPA. Yes, I do.
I think it depends on who you are and what your goals are.
Barb's her mom.
Yeah.
Barb Miller.
Okay.
You know when it's like the family business and it's like, do I want to take over my family's dry cleaning business because it's been going on for generations and it's like, nope, I'm going to break that. I'm going to go branch out on my own, do my own thing.
So you're a fitness instructor.
Anti-EPA advocate. Like, I'm going to break out of that mold.
Actually, your mom's not even anti-EPA. Her standpoint has always been like, EPA could do more, could do better, right?
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
She has one of the unique takes on it. But anyway, back to this. 9 Mile Creek up like just north of Wallace.
Uh-huh.
They've been doing work up there for years, rehabbing mine and mill sites from like the Star Mine. This is the one up there, and they built a new repository up there to house all this stuff. But up at the Interstate Callahan, an old mill, we've been up there. We took pictures of it. The soil up there is like electric yellow. Mm-hmm. Like it's
what?
Oh yeah, like
it's very strange, very eerie looking.
Like Chernobyl type.
Yeah, yeah. Like they're like this is one of the
worst. Yeah, it's like the color of mustard.
They didn't let us out of the van there when we did our EPA tour. You know what? As a representative with the news press, maybe we should let her go on one of those sweet EPA, the Basin Commission tours. You probably think it's really cool.
You it's worth going on one.
Maybe I could go with my mom. Maybe we could bond. So did you go up then to look at it this time, or are you talking about a previous visit?
This is a previous visit. So they've done a lot of work up there to get that cleaned up, and they're supposed to have it finished this year. Okay. So that project, that work's going to start up at the beginning of June. Uh-huh. This is, I think...
Tell me a little bit about the work.
It's just removing waste rock from that site and getting it to a repository.
More commonly known as dirty dirt?
Dirty dirt. Mm-hmm. high concentrates of cadmium.
Cadmium. That's the
fun. You like that one.
I like that one. Because I think that's the one that turns it yellow.
Zinc, arsenic.
Yep.
All that stuff.
Great stuff.
Heavy, heavy duty stuff.
Sounds good, yeah.
Yeah, just tasty stuff.
Mm-hmm. Just roll around in it.
Yeah, just glow in the dark.
23 grams of arsenic.
200, a year's supply of arsenic.
You just walk up there and it glows. It's like you go into a laser tag.
That one picture we took through a tinted bus window.
Yeah.
Still glowing like electric yellow orange-ish.
So they're, sorry, I missed it. Are they starting this in June or they're finishing it in June?
So they're going to finish it this summer, but okay. they're starting their work back up in June. They're having to negotiate a lot of different things, such as COVID precautions and work schedules and things like that to make sure that they're staying safe.
Not to mention, there should be some work coming up here on the... 6th Street Bridge.
Yeah.
That's been a factor in all of this.
Yeah, that is right. And they have to have that temporary bridge that they have to use. That thing's been there for like 2-3 summers now. It's becoming kind of an eyesore. I know the people with the melodrama really hate it.
I'm sure that they'd be like happy to get
smack
rid of it,
dab in the middle of their street.
Monica, for that the 6th Street Bridge, it's like structurally compromised.
Oh yeah.
So that's why it has that middle.
Monica's day job. She knows all about
that's
that.
That's right.
I know a little bit about it. Yeah. But I usually get a lot of questions. It's about bridgeception. Why is there a bridge on top of a bridge?
Right.
And then you have to explain to them.
There's the long answer of like, well, it's because of this. The short answer is that Wallace doesn't have the money to rebuild the bridge right now. So
one thing that is cool is I did talk to a she's a remedial project manager, which means I don't like that title. I would not want to be titled as remedial anything. Mm-hmm. Because I think I took remedial
separate
math in
definition
high school,
yeah,
but remedial project manager, so this is a remediation project manager, Tamara Langdon. She said, for places like Nine Mile and Canyon Creek, we prioritize based on their threat to the environment, be it wildlife or water quality. We're hoping that with this cleanup, that these streams will stay clean and we will see life in them again. However, keeping people safe is always the overarching theme of these projects. So this is the final year of the cleanup up at the Nine Mile Creek site. And, I mean, it looks... Considering the last time we saw it was piles of neon yellow dirt, it looks like they've got clean dirt up there, and they're even doing some hydro seeding.
Mm-hmm.
So the picture on the front
shows...
Oh,
so that neon green stuff is?
Yeah, that's what that green stuff is, yeah.
There you go.
So we'll have... I mean, a lot of those places, they're just devoid of life because stuff simply cannot grow there.
Gotcha.
And I think Monica, we went to school together, and I mean, we planted trees all on that little hillside, like below like the clinic there. Do you remember that? Was that in class?
So I went to Osborne Elementary.
No, this was like in middle school?
No, I don't remember.
It was like middle school and I think maybe even high school where we planted trees like up like on the little hillside there that runs along the bike path.
Yeah.
That's why there's all those randomly planted trees. But like that area, like nothing grew. Huh. And when I first moved here when I was like one, I can remember being like a little kid and the mountains being like just barely green because trees were just starting to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So, like...
I don't know if this, like, ties in, but, like, when you do the, like, the wellness trail beside the hospital,
yeah.
Like, and that's a hospital's property, if you walk up there, like at the top, and it's not a very long hike, it's super nice. There's like a sign that explains, like, all, like you can look out across, like where, it's not where Bunker Hill is, but like you look directly across. So like up behind, like where the K is,
mm-hmm.
like, and so it shows you before and it shows you after, like of all the trees they replanted, and
sure.
and it was, it's not that long, like it's yeah. not that long of a time span where stuff regrew, so it's
right.
pretty cool.
It's crazy. So it's nice that they're getting this stuff done so that we'll have stuff growing up in these areas again. It'll be good for the people to go up there, and maybe there'll be some fish up there again, and it'll be nice.
Absolutely. Two quick things from the inside. St. Joe Valley Fire welcomes 8 new volunteers. Just a quick little shout out to them. They sent us a submission down from our little town in Calder. Nice.
Yeah, it was a good throw.
That was a good throw. Little town in Calder, so congratulations. I'm glad that that little volunteer group
That picture got some serious love on our Facebook
yes,
page.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Good.
People
good
really
good.
Like first responders around here. I think they're just paranoid about, like, needing them, so mm-hmm. they're, like, happy to know that they're everywhere.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then last thing, Silver Valley Scholars make LCSC's 2020 Spring Honor Roll.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The Honor Roll.
Coming out of Cataldo, we've got Jamie Booth.
Congratulations, Jamie.
Clarkia, Rebecca Kruger.
Ah, Rebecca Kruger.
Out of Clarkia?
Yeah. Out of Clarkia.
Yeah.
People, we forget that Clarkia is part of Shoshone County.
It truly is. Yeah.
Like 20% of their population is doing really well at LCSC.
We're here, Clarkia. It's, you know, if you're from Clarkia, you should let us know.
Do you have internet? Can you get this podcast?
Shout out to Clarkia.
We have never written a story about Clarkia as long as I've been here, so I would love to have somebody reach out to us on that.
Maybe there'll be a murder.
We
tell us about these scholars.
We wouldn't know. Yeah, we wouldn't
back
know
to
about.
You, Chance.
Thank
the
you.
Scholars.
Thank you. Thank you, Monica. Kellogg, Austin Gunderson.
Heyo.
Hey, what mm-hmm. up, dude?
Pinehurst, Jordan Keller, and Kylie Robinson.
Oh.
Uh huh. And I then
was a pretty solid golfer back in the day for a state championship Kellogg golf team.
There you go. There you go.
Coached by.
Yeah.
Simon Miller.
Yeah. And Jordan Keller also works in the Hagedon News Corporation.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Over digital.
She's in our digital. So shout out to Jordan. And then
out
of Wallace, Samantha Steprow.
Oh, sweet.
Uh-huh.
Good job, Samantha.
Good job, guys. Congratulations.
Thanks.
She's keeping us educated up
Thank
in these
you.
Parts.
Definitely.
So the Route of the Hiawatha is still looking for summer positions. They're now hiring. Bus drivers, trail marshals, bike renters, bike mechanics, and guest services and cashiers. You can apply in person. Call them at 208-744-1301 or email jobs, J-O-B-S, at skilookout.com. Lookout Pass is an equal opportunity employer.
They just recently opened the Route of the Hiawatha.
Did they?
They did.
That's
that was
good.
In your paper, wasn't it?
It was in our paper.
Oh.
Josh, are you going to ride your bicycle in the Hiawatha, you think?
So I should.
You should, absolutely.
Just a pedaling fiend right now. As a matter of fact, the weather, I keep seeing the light in our little skylight getting warmer and brighter.
Uh-huh.
And then it'll dim, and I'm like, please don't be raining because I really want to go ride my bike this afternoon.
There you go. You're
we
all
should
about
ride
it.
The Hiawatha. We should do that.
Like as a group?
Yeah, for sure. You got to bring your lights, though.
Oh, that's right. My lights.
Do that.
It's very dark in there in the tunnels.
Oh, and I just have no balance.
I said I'd love to go live, but there's no service up there.
We could just video it.
We could.
Record it like
I like that.
Like NPR.
All yeah, right. You would hear me be like, oh, man, mother. Beep, as I'm like out of breath.
It would
like,
just be heavy breathing the entire time. Just wheezing.
Actually, that's mostly downhill, right?
That you're wheezing?
No.
Oh,
that trail.
Say if you're going downhill.
You shouldn't be wheezing when you're going downhill because it's
no.
easy.
You're just sitting.
I don't know if you've ever, in real life, me going downhill is not a lot of work. Gravity tends to do most of the work. In fact, I sometimes like to ride like near Dr. Bowman's office down to my house.
In Uptown Kellogg.
And I pick up some speed going past the Amy Lynn's.
Mm-hmm.
You almost just blow through the mountainside into Ross Ranch.
I have to be super careful. My brakes, they're nice, but I don't want to replace them like every time I try to stop going down.
You ever like Flintstone it? Just put your feet down?
No, just drag the toes like a little kid. Why do your shoes look like that, Josh?
Because
I
can't stop.
Uh-huh.
Bought this bike.
I think the Hiawatha is mostly downhill, to answer your question.
It is almost exclusively
downhill. Sounds like a good time.
Just like the Jackass Half Marathon.
Mostly downhill.
Yeah. Perfect.
I don't know if they'll let me ride my bike in that one, though.
Probably not.
What's going on with Fridays?
Tuesday.
What's going on with Tuesday?
Tuesday.
That's today.
Tuesday, May 26th.
Tuesday headlines. Seniors cash out at scholarship ceremonies. I like that headline.
I like
cash
that.
Cash out.
I like that. When I wrote that story, I went with Jerry Maguire's "Show Me the Money."
Yes.
Cash me outside.
Ooh. How about that? So
just call Monica for our headlines.
Yeah, dude. I'm gonna have to talk a bunch, dude. I have all the front page stories right now.
Yes, you do.
My tongue is gonna be just.
I took a photo. So
two photos. No, yeah. A photo. One was a screen grab.
Yep.
So seniors at Mullen and Wallace High School, they graduated.
Whoa!
But last week they also had scholarship ceremonies.
All right.
And over $325,000 in scholarship monies was handed out at these two different
between ceremonies. The two schools?
Between yeah. Wallace and Mullen.
Yeah, yes. Wallace had like 156, and they don't give us like specifics. They're like really odd about that. Their privacy rules are so much more different than any of the other schools.
It's true. We've every year Mullen and Kellogg generally have the same amount of information we're able to provide. Wallace just doesn't give us that information. Yeah. We've inquired about it before and we just don't get it. So we report what we have.
Yeah. So students at Wallace High School had $156,000 roughly.
That's great news.
Students in Mullen.
Between how many kids?
20 some kids.
How many do they have?
23? Wallace? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I typed out all the names, so. Josh is
25.
25, okay.
25 so, kids.
That's pretty good.
So Mullen had roughly just under half.
Okay.
And but they came out with over $180,000.
And that's the thing, though. That's why you go to Mullen, though.
Well, it's their scholarships are kind of a big deal. They weren't just local ones. I'll show you where they're at. These were.
Significant?
Yeah. A8. Where is A8?
Well, in these scholarships, they're also... So it's in a combination... Like you said, Josh, it's a combination between local and out-of-town stuff. You have to... Some of them have to apply for. The non-local ones, though, man,
that... Well, Mullen killed it.
Mm-hmm.
Mullen killed it. They had $40,000 to Hannah Cody in the Horatio Alger Scholarship. That's a national one.
Yeah. We have a lot of students that win that one.
The Multnomah University Founders Scholarship was $36,000 to Sam
Mez. Yeah.
He got two of those. He got a grant for $8,000 from the same foundation. So he got a scholarship and a grant.
Good for him.
And that's $32,000. So there's $68,000 right there.
Good for him.
Hannah Cody also had like an $11,500 Silver Eagle Eastern Washington University scholarship.
We know Hannah, don't we?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Our former front desk lady's mm-hmm. daughter. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just killed it in some of the national ones, man. Or some of the bigger non-local ones. That's where Wallace makes up a lot of their ground is with the local stuff.
Yeah.
Outside of the local stuff is where Mullen really,
that's awesome.
Really shines, which I think there's a bit of a misconception about going to Mullen, like you go to Mullen and you can get like some sort of like Lucky Friday scholarship. Like, mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen. But Hannah and Sam Hess like killed it in the scholarship. Their school's probably all paid for.
That's awesome.
You know, is like as far as applying for the scholarships, like is it still like you do the FAFSA and then that kind of like puts you into a pool and then they look at your FAFSA, or do you actually have, because I know like there's that way of doing it where they're like, yeah.
So that qualifies you for like government stuff.
Yeah.
But like those specific ones, like some of them you have to apply for specifically. And school counselors help with that a lot. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of part of their job description is like finding these grants and then telling the kids that they qualify.
Is that what they're supposed to be doing? Because I don't remember that happening when I was in school. I was pretty sure it was like...
I mean, we don't have the ability to necessarily like look directly at Wallace's and be able to even pinpoint that because they don't give us that information.
Sure.
But and I'm going to keep just... It's obnoxious. It bugs me. Like, if there was an opinion side of me here, give me the names and the kids. These kids deserve to have the recognition. Like, it's cool that... between, you know, Hannah, Cody, and Sam Hess, there's like $100,000 right there.
Right.
Scholarship money. It's like, we should talk about it.
Right.
So I don't know how it works, but I know from the non-local side of things, that's where Mullen made up a lot of ground.
That's awesome.
On the Wallace kids.
That's awesome.
Good to hear.
And we have Kellogg's coming up later this week.
Just about to say, we have Kellogg graduation photo and
their... And we kind of wrote some of that story already, and I'll just kind of jump into it.
Sure, go ahead.
A story called Answering the Call about three local Kellogg High School students who are in the JROTC. They were all nominated at various times for military academy appointments. We had Angel Beyer. She's a senior this year, and Ethan Tomczak, a senior this year. Angel Beyer is... She was nominated by a Idaho legislator earlier in the year.
Uh-huh.
Received her appointment last week.
Uh-huh.
She'll be going to the Air Force Academy.
Okay,
cool.
So that one's down in Colorado. That scholarship appointment, whatever you want to call it, worth $450,000. So that's a pretty big one. Shay Curran,
yeah,
she graduated last year. And she is getting a $450,000 appointment to the United States Merchant Marine Academy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, some of these scholarship ceremonies, they give out scholarships to, like, kids who graduated, like, the year before or something like that.
Well, so Shay, there wasn't room for Shay in the Merchant Marine Academy this last year.
Okay.
Last year, so she actually did a year in New Mexico at a prep school for the Merchant Marines.
Okay.
So she's got that, and then... Ethan Tomczak is going to, she's going to school for, or he, sorry, not she,
mm-hmm.
he's going to school for chemical engineering.
Okay.
But he got a $180,000 scholarship through the Naval ROTC program. So he will be part of the Naval ROTC unit at University of Idaho and then transfer over to the University of Washington to finish his degree.
Okay.
And then once he finishes his degree, he will go right into Naval service.
Awesome.
So.
Awesome.
Kind of a big deal.
U of I, Wazoo, good schools.
That's a lot of, well, no, not Washington State. He's going from University of Idaho to University of Washington.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said Washington University. Okay.
Yeah.
UW's okay.
He's got to go to UW. I mean, I'm assuming that's where a lot of the Navy stuff is. You can work right out
sure.
in Puget Sound there.
Sure.
But yeah, that's over $1 million.
That's awesome.
In military scholarship money. Like,
is
that's
it,
crazy.
Like, I don't know if it's more wild. It's wonderful that they give them that money. But then also the fact that it costs that much is also very, like, astounding to me. So I'm kind of torn between being, like...
Excited.
Obviously, and... like, 89% stoked. And then not knowing how to do math. Yeah, 11%.
Blown away.
Yeah.
Yeah. $1.1 million.
For three kids.
Three kids, $1.1 million worth of education for military service. It's pretty healthy. So.
Go Vandals.
Go Vandals yeah. is right.
Go Cougs.
Yes.
So then we got a last story on the front page. Wallace students receive recognition for Arbor Day picks.
When was Arbor Day?
Arbor Day was, what, 2 weeks ago?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we did not have the normal things that we normally have for it.
Right.
But we had fifth grader Margot Cotter.
Friday, April 30th.
Sweet Margot.
Sweet, sweet Margot.
Margot's a cool kid.
And Ileana Lewis, an eighth grader.
Friday, April 30th.
They both received honorable mention awards for a photo contest that they did with the Idaho Forest Products Commission.
Nope, 24th. Sorry about that.
You were really struggling figuring out this
because
date.
You
went your damn dates.
I typed in Arbor Day and it said, and it kept giving me 2021.
Well, yeah, because we're past.
I understand that now.
Everything's canceled, Chance.
I know.
Don't you know?
Arbor Day is canceled.
2021. We're looking towards the future.
All right.
That's awesome.
It's
I'm
not
really
canceled.
Happy.
It got rescheduled for 2020.
Arbor Day's rescheduled. Congratulations, ladies.
Yeah. So the pictures are actually really cool. Margot took one, a picture of the Shields Creek waterfall, which is right here.
That's like, in the paper.
Yeah, it's on the front page, and it's a picture that I would hang in my living room. Like, it's a very peaceful, like, calming, soothing photo. Like, I really like it. Ileana's photo was one that she took in her backyard, but it's really cool. I can't really figure out, like, what the flower is, but it's like...
You know what you need. Flower consigliere.
I need my flower consigliere.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's her photo is called New Life Brings New Hope. And these photos, this wasn't a school project. It was just something that was encouraged for them to do as something to do during the soft closure. And
that's very cool.
They went out, they did it. They got honorable mentions. I got to look at some of these pictures, like the ones that won awards. Man, there's some steep competition. Like one kid took this, like it was like a sunset, but it was like smoky. All you could see were like these really like haunting silhouettes of pine trees through the smoke with the bright, like brilliantly orange sunset behind it. And that was like third place. that wasn't even the first place. Mm-hmm. The first place one, like some kid got an aerial shot of like a robin's nest with eggs in it.
Wow.
Drone.
Had I was going to say, drone. Every
he
time.
He didn't climb that tree.
Slammed him.
But yeah, and these were just any kid in Idaho grades 5th through 12th could participate. And we had two ladies get honorable mention. So
awesome.
Shout out to the ladies.
Good yes, job, ladies.
Absolutely. And then the center of that page were our standalone photos for our graduating seniors
from
Wallace and Mullen Junior Senior High Schools.
Congratulations, class of 2020, Absolutely. Miners and Tigers.
Miners and Tigers.
And Bears.
And oh my.
Oh my.
Hey, and check out the deal that Silver Valley Tire is having right now. Mm-hmm. If you buy any set of four tires or four wheels, you get signed up for a raffle to win 5 free car washes. The season is here to have your car sparkling clean. Go see them and they'll help you pick out the tires that suit your vehicle best or spiff up the tires you already have with new wheels. This offer ends Saturday, May 30th, so stop in at Silver Valley Tire located at 407 West Cameron Avenue in Kellogg or give them a call at 208-784-1181.
They'll stand behind and in front of your brakes.
Yeah. That's always a dandy.
We got to write that in there.
Did our co-host just leave?
Yeah, she just walked out.
She was laughing at me for something.
She's gone.
She was like, I've had it with these guys. But that's kind of cool. So, I mean, I guess that gives us the ability to kind of talk about what we're about to do.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll give kind of a...
So, for this week, we're going to do something a little different. Instead of an interview, we're going to have a roundtable discussion. This one's going to be a little out of the realm of more of a roundtable discussion, opinion-based kind of thing. Really, you know, investigating the issues or all the angles of a certain issue in regards to our new poll. So we've talked about it last week, how our new website allows us the capabilities to put up these fun little polls on our website and our social media pages. So last week we put one up in regard to a decision that the city of Kellogg made regarding their playground equipment in the city parks. And we're just going to do a little deep dive under that, talk about the results of the poll, and yeah. and kind of explore it from all different angles. So let's get into that discussion. Welcome back, everybody. Here is our roundtable discussion about a certain controversial issue that came up last week, early on. Kind of seemed like it was pretty mundane, but then kind of turned into a firestorm once we put it out there.
I don't know what's more controversial, this topic or the fact that we're having a roundtable discussion at a square table.
It's a fairly controversial topic.
I'm gonna go with the latter, actually. I feel more passionate about the latter.
Yeah, this is a square table.
Hey, we're, that'll be a short discussion because we're all in agreement that we need a different table.
Oh,
so,
absolutely. These aren't even tables. They're broken desks. Pushed
together. I mean, if you want to get technical about it, yeah.
Yeah.
So before we get into it, this is the first time that we've done this, so we're kind of just testing the waters on it to see how you guys like, you know, kind of a back and forth roundtable discussion period about this, and this is definitely out of the type of style from the first part of this where we talk about our headline stories, where we kind of just give you, you know, the facts in the news and maybe even some, not commentary, but setting the scene a little bit more, you know, some context. Whereas this is definitely us, you know, batting a subject around with our ideas and topics and exploring an issue. Please let us know if you like this and if you want to hear more about it. It's not going to replace interviews. Don't worry about that. This is just something that with our new polls, we wanted to kind of explore this and kind of bring that aspect of it into the podcast.
As well as diversifying the content that we bring you. I think every week, sometimes our interviews don't hit as high as what we expect them to. Sometimes
we can't all be winners.
Yeah, sometimes our interview subjects are their importance that people give them, our audience gives them, is weighted differently. So yes. sometimes they fall flatter than we expect. So absolutely. We just want to try and mix it up a little.
Plus, bit. We saw online that this is a topic that a lot of you very much care
140
about.
140 total votes. That would make it, I believe, our most voted on poll that we
have. Brian, we've only had three polls, but
we've only had three. But
so it made the top three, is what you're telling.
No, it didn't make the top three. It is the number one.
It is number one in the top three of our number of polls. So, Josh, I've got the story pulled up here, even though you kind of put it together, but it's fine. Whatever, it's cool.
I kind of put the poll together too.
So Josh, you wrote this story.
I didn't really write the story. What I did is I took the press release that the...
Give us some context here first.
The city of Kellogg, it was kind of funny. In fact, Rod Plank, who is a city manager with the city of Kellogg, was in our office and we were kind of talking to him about
We've had Rod Plank on the podcast.
Yes, we have. Yes. The decision was made to re-caution tape the playground at the Kellogg City Public Parks, which is, so there's a city park
right next to the city pool. For the purpose of keeping them off, people off of it.
Yeah. So there's two parks that Kellogg City manages. Mm-hmm. There's one right next to the pool, and then there's the one over like where Mission and Riverside Avenues converge.
Triangle Park.
Thank you. Thank you for knowing exactly. And I always call it Triangle Park, but people are like, what? I'm like, yeah, it's Triangle Park.
Okay.
So you have those two. Have a quick question, though, just really quick.
Yeah.
There's also a, air quotes, Triangle Park uptown by where Salt Division and McKinley meet, maybe? Or no,
McKinley Main.
Yeah, maybe. Do you know what I'm talking
about? Katie Strobel's house used to be?
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't think that's a park anymore. I think it's just wood chips now.
Okay, perfect. That was my only question. I heard somebody refer to that as Triangle Park, and I was like, clearly you're not informed. Okay.
So
you've got two parks in Kellogg.
Two parks in Kellogg. Both of them have the caution tape back up on them.
Uh-huh.
Now, it had been this past weekend when Stage 2 was initiated that people went to the parks, and they tore... They didn't tear the caution tape down. I actually have the distinction of being one of the people that took the caution tape down. But they ripped
it. Not out of any sort of protest. No. It was ratty and thought
been,
it was...
The children had been playing on top
been,
of the
It
caution.
Had been played on and ripped up and like was just hanging there.
Sure.
So I took my kids to the park and we took it down. And between my ex-wife and I, we picked it up and threw it away.
Sure.
And then the next day, two days later, it was taped up again. And the city said that they were following CDC guidelines.
Yeah, so the city of Kellogg retaped off the playground equipment on Wednesday, despite varying opinions that they should be reopened. In a Facebook post on Thursday, city released the following statement on their official Facebook page. One of our community members asked a question about the caution tape around the playground equipment in our city parks. We regret placing restrictions on any of our facilities, but the city of Kellogg has elected to follow the recommendations of the Centers for Disease Control and Protection in this case. We are evaluating these decisions on a regular basis, but for the time being, the CDC recommendations below will be followed. And it listed, do not use playgrounds, where including water playgrounds located within local, state, or national parks, because using playgrounds might lead to the spread of COVID-19, because they are often crowded and could easily exceed recommended guidance for gatherings. It can be challenging to keep surfaces clean and disinfected, and the virus can spread when young children touch contaminated equipment and then touch their hands, their eyes, nose, or mouth.
So what we did is
This went out, and we looked into it. Go ahead. We looked into it.
We saw it. We looked into it. We talked to Rod. We put it together. So on the city's social media, this had already opened up
kind of
the gates for heavy criticism.
So we went in and fact-checked this in the sense of, first off, we looked to see. We wanted to look at. So there were claims being made, because we reposted it on the news press site as well, and there were claims being made that the governor's orders opened.
Allowed for parks to be
parks.
Open.
Oh, so you got like two.
So there might be a conflicting thing between the So we did confirm that on the CDC site, it says do not play on playgrounds.
Okay.
Like that's, so that was confirmed. But we wanted to look into the claim that the governor said that. And the answer is...
Not at all.
Not at all.
In fact...
But not yes either.
On the Idaho coronavirus website, which has all this information, which is where Chance and I found out that there had been special accommodations made for drive-in movie theaters.
Thank you to the handy search tool.
Yes, thanks to the handy search tool and Pastor Corey Birdie. We went to the search tool and typed in playgrounds. and there is not a single mention.
We reached out to Panhandle Health District
Representative
Catherine Hoyer.
Yep.
And she was unaware of any listing mention of playgrounds in Stage 2 or Stage 3 or Stage 1 or Stage 4.
And there isn't.
It's strangely absent. They mention everything else except that. So indoor workout facilities, water parks, trampoline play. I mean,
even outdoor recreational facilities like tennis courts, basketball courts,
yes,
things like that.
Those are all mentioned.
And they're open.
They're all mentioned.
But playgrounds.
So there's nothing that it could fall under.
Nothing.
It doesn't. It's just not mentioned at all. It doesn't say that they can't open, but it doesn't say that they can open.
The very loose argument could be made for outdoor fitness equipment.
Maybe, yeah.
Monkey bars, things of that nature.
Sure.
Very, 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 very.
I mean, that's loose. If I were a lawyer, I could maybe make that argument and say, like, oh, it falls under this category.
Right. So what we did is we got the story up, kind of listened to some of the reactions, and then we went to our new polling tool.
Yep.
Where we created the following poll. And the question for the poll read, how do you feel about the city of Kellogg's decision to follow CDC guidelines in regards to them keeping their playgrounds closed? We put out three answers. First answer, Kellogg is making the right choice by following the recommendations put forth by the CDC, which says to not use playgrounds. The second option, Kellogg should open playgrounds with proper social distancing recommendations being followed. And the third option, Kellogg should open their playgrounds with no restrictions. Now, that's where things, because the opinions of the masses there were some mixed ones.
Sure.
This
was a heated, debated topic on our social. It still is.
It opened up a rather, rather tense poop storm.
So to speak.
On our Facebook page.
So to speak.
The overwhelming results of the poll, we got 22 votes out of the 140 total votes. We got 22 votes for option one, that Kellogg is making the right choice by following the CDC. We got 31 votes for Kellogg should open the playground with proper social distancing recommendations. Uh-huh. So that's 22.14%.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
The overwhelming favorite, 62.14%, 87 total votes, Kellogg should open their playgrounds with no restrictions.
So vast majority.
Vast majority.
It
now,
should open up.
I guess I'll kick off the opinion.
Go for it.
Here. From what we've gathered, it sounds like the CDC can't keep their ideas straight. The same people that have waxed and waned on wearing a mask and if it's safe or not in this whole pandemic.
Or if it's effective,
mm-hmm. have also said things like the virus can live on metals and plastics for, 10 to 12 hours.
Well, it just recently came out that it doesn't live as long on surfaces.
And now they came out with, not only does it not live as long on surfaces, but it's also really hard to contract via touching the same surface.
Which I want to point out is I don't want to get on the CDC for this, because this is, we can't slip into this idea of like, they mess up once with limited information and then we can never trust anything they ever say again. Right. That's just how science works, which how the CDC goes, is they come to a conclusion based on the available information.
Right.
And then when more information is provided, they come to a new conclusion.
So, we also did learn that Coeur d'Alene has opened their city playgrounds and parks.
Well, that's it. I'm sold.
Right.
I mean, if Kootenay's doing it, if it's good enough for Kootenay, it's good enough for us. Am I right?
You're not wrong in that logic, because more people...
More people have gotten sick over Kootenay.
More people, more parks.
Yep.
More area to keep clean. But at the same time, I mean, fresh air was one of the things that was always allowed. You touch more things.
Even during the heat of the lockdown.
When you're in the grocery store, then I would worry about... I would rather have my kids playing on a slide and monkey bars and the merry-go-round and all that than having them touch a cart, a shopping cart.
So let's... I haven't even given my side of it yet, but I'm gonna preemptively just say we're all kind of in the same mindset here on this particular topic.
Perhaps.
But I will play devil's advocate on this for a second. So how about let's look at the subjects in particular using playground equipment. Children are not necessarily known to being the most cleanly people on the planet.
Obviously, I haven't hung out with my kids.
Hey, clean kids. What up?
No, you're not. You're not wrong. But I do think
children do not follow hygienic.
I voted in this. I voted in all of our polls.
Uh huh.
And I went with the option two, that the playground should be open with proper social distancing recommendations being followed. Now, sure. I wouldn't want my kids playing on a playground with a small playground like what we have in Kellogg.
Sure.
With 60, 70 other kids.
And it goes, and this goes, and it's opened this that huge can of worms. That's basically what this conversation has devolved into, is that if you are going to do this, we worded this perfectly to say following the recommendations, not because an early version of that question was, "Are you all right, Monica?"
Yeah, I'm fine, guys. Keep going.
Okay,
I'm moving over. I think Monica's gonna.
I just feel like I keep rolling back in my chair. I'm not even that fired up about this topic. Keep going.
An early version of this poll, that second option, we were going to use the word enforce.
Yeah,
and we felt that that was too strong a term, and it would have opened up. I mean, it's already opened up a can of worms, but. Enforce implies that someone will be there to
monitor.
So, for example, a good example of this is I recently went down to the Coeur d'Alene Casino. I was curious to see what, you know, maybe I can, in the future, I can say, yeah, I went to a place where I was forced to wear a mask and it was a very interesting experience in my life during the pandemic. Went down there and they are not, it's not like a light recommendation. They have their security guards walking around the floor at all times. It honestly takes a lot of the enjoyment out of going to the casino. Can't just to be blatantly honest about it. What's that?
So you can't get away with as much now.
I guess. Not that I was
like. No, I feel like there could be people who would volunteer to be park marshal type people.
Sure, and then that opens up that can of worms. Is like, do that person has authority? You know, what authority do they have? What's the penalty for such a thing?
Sure.
You know, what are they allowed to do and whatnot? And I think that is a very slippery. I hate that argument, but that definitely goes down that route.
One of the biggest issues I see with this isn't so much the people following the rules, mm-hmm. or what the rules are, but I really am struggling with the antagonistic view of some of the people who
both sides poking at each other.
Right.
Well, here's the thing that I'm kind of curious about is who's voting on this? Because if it's people like I don't have any kids, so like if I'm voting on this and I'm like, hell yeah, the playground equipment should be open. Like, who am I to say? Like, you have children, so obviously, sure. Like. It applies differently to you. So if you're weighing in on this and obviously like you have different principles, you have strong principles.
Absolutely.
And you have strong feelings, yeah. about the whole shutdown in general, but like, can you isolate this to be like, hey, if you don't have kids,
it's definitely a matter of perspective. It's, I mean, it's very similar to, say there's a school bond up, you know, if somebody who lives in Kellogg or Wallace or whatever, you know, whatever bond it is, mm-hmm. if you don't have kids, and you're not a kind-hearted soul that wants, you know, our young generation
to invest in the future.
Yeah, if you could give way less about the local children, then why would you vote? I mean, you don't want your taxes to be raised.
Yeah, so I get, like, I definitely think parents have, like, I won't say, like, more of a right, because everybody has a right to, like, weigh in. But mm-hmm. I would say, like, if I'm looking at this information and I'm looking at who voted what, I'm going to put more weight into what parents said than
sure.
what non-parents said, because sure. they're the ones that are truly being affected.
Unfortunately, that is not a statistic that it keeps.
So, well, and,
no, that's okay.
And
they're
not,
like,
the polls aren't exact.
Sure.
So you're very, that's a kind position to take,
mm-hmm.
because not many people think in those terms. In fact, we have some people that haunt, I use haunt not in a negative sense, but they linger on our Facebook page, and I know they don't even live in the area,
mm-hmm.
but they specifically go out of their way to chime in and weigh in on things
sure.
that don't affect them in any way, but because they once lived here, they still follow us. We appreciate their following and their interaction,
mm-hmm.
but when they're...
She has some shit stirs on your hands.
Right.
That's
why
I used it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you marking the time?
Yes, I am marking the time.
Time stamping.
Because you said one in the first part, too, so...
I did?
Yeah, you did.
I heard Josh say poop, and so I thought I had...
Poop is fine.
Oh, and he said the B word.
Yes, you did.
Son of a...
Sorry, I thought we could curse on this podcast.
No. We get one.
We get one.
We're PG-13.
All right.
We are PG-13.
Maybe a very... I thought that was a joke. I thought we could just...
No, we cannot. We cannot cuss on the...
Unless well, you're it's... Mayor Mac. Mayor Mac's the only one who gets a hall pass because otherwise you wouldn't ever get him.
This is a
family show. But ironically, this is a Mayor Mac-related discussion because it really does come back to the fact that there is no verbiage out there that really allows any sort of rule.
Sure.
And it almost leaves it up to city discretion.
Yep.
Which...
And they have the full right to.
The dangerous part of this, though, because then if you look and you go, okay, over in Kootenai County, they're opening parks.
Yeah.
In Coeur d'Alene, in the city of Coeur
d'Alene. It's not a good look when you're when you start comparing.
And it becomes...
Controversial.
It looks restrictive.
Yes.
I am one who has not once gone out of my way to bash government entities for their opinions one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Do I think that over in Washington, Governor Inslee, who is dealing with a lot worse than what we are in Idaho, is handling the situation the right way? I don't know, but I also go, their situation is way worse than ours. Do I look at Wisconsin and go...
Different strokes for different folks.
Right, do I look at Wisconsin and go, man, you guys just opened everything, like... Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a good idea? I don't know. Maybe they have Milwaukee, but other than that, like Green Bay, they only have a football team. Like they're not like a huge populous area outside of Milwaukee.
Yep.
Perhaps they were in the same position we were and they were just like, hey, let's just do it. I'm not going to judge on that, but the restrictive nature that the city of Kellogg, the city government has taken, definitely.
And I think if there was like, if they were, I'm not saying they're being dishonest when I say this, but if they were just, they truly fully just put out the reason why, like, why are they going with the CDC recommendation? Yeah. You know, there's the, you know, the holier than thou answer of like, well, it's the right thing to do. And that's has merit. But also there could be other legal ramifications. You know, if a child goes, if there's somehow they could tie it to, if a child does get COVID-19, and it turns out that 2 weeks ago that they were playing on the playground, is there legal repercussions? I don't know if there is or not.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you also have to look at enforcement.
Sure.
Because if the city's just doing it because they don't want to, let's say, get in trouble from, like, whoever.
It's more like a playing it safe kind of thing.
Yeah, but then I'm saying, like, if they shut them down, let's say a kid was out there playing, like, what are they going to do to enforce it? And then also, like, are they that worried about, like, what are the repercussions of that? Because maybe it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, we were told to do this, or this, you know, we understood this is what we were supposed to do, but we have no way of enforcing it. So it's kind of like, we can't tell you to go play on the playground, but at the same time, and we can't say that we're not going to fine you. But if there's no enforcement to back it up, then really...
What's the point?
Yeah, what's the point of it? And they were just doing what they thought.
There's no motivation. And then, again, especially where we live, it's a hypersensitive issue when you start trying to get people to enforce things.
It was difficult.
Because you get that argument from far-right extremists that, you know, it's government overreach.
We tend to live in an area that's not so much right-wing as they are, like, they're just not the less...
It's anti-government.
Anti-government. Yeah. They would prefer less control. But, so I guess the next part is a lot of people have brought up the argument of liability.
So, hold on. Before we get to that, I want to bring up Monica's point talking about how, you know, a parent's opinion and whatnot on this. Because that is its own topic in and itself of how that goes, you know, it's that age-old argument of from a parent that says, I know what's best for my kid kind of thing.
You mean like the parent who made the video specifically having their kids chant cut the tape?
So,
it's on rants and raves.
Well, let's even go back to the more famous incident from Boise, where the mother basically created a PR stunt by bringing her child to. And granted, this was even before like stage one. This was like in the heat of the lockdown.
Yeah.
Or the stay-at-home order, rather. Yeah. Lockdown is pretty severe.
Yes.
She brought her child out to play at a playground, along with some other people. They obviously had orchestrated all of this and knew it was going to cause an issue.
Right.
And her argument is, I mean, essentially, I'm a parent, I'm an American, I can do what I want, I know what's best for my kid kind of thing.
Right.
I'm not disagreeing with that to a degree, but then again, I have examples of both of that in my life. So I disagree with that type of thinking. I'm not saying it doesn't always apply. Sometimes it does. Yeah, sometimes you got good parents. I mean, sometimes they truly do make the best choice. But I've got, you know, through all walks of life, I've met people that, you know, had great parents and they should trust their judgment. And then you meet some people that, you know, for a fact, do not talk to their parents because they just don't.
Well, and in this regard, I mean, the difference between this, the woman down in Boise in that situation wasn't out there trying to be a good parent. They were out there trying to bait a police officer into doing something.
Make a political statement
out of it. That's different. The same way that the video on Facebook using their child to make a quasi-political statement, and that was the argument that ensued. Because while I know this person definitely doesn't agree with the restrictions, they wouldn't put their child in harm's way. More of a tongue-in-cheek thing.
Yeah, but if you left everything up to the if you didn't have any type of thing where there was any, like, I won't say, it's not a law, what's the guideline? Mm-hmm. Let's call it. If you
recommendation. Didn't
have any guidelines or recommendations, and you just said, everybody's going to use common sense, they're not going to let their kids play on the playground,
right.
Then that increases the number of kids on the playground. But at least this way, if you give the illusion that you're not allowed to do it, then maybe some people will break the rules, some people don't.
Sure.
And then at least you're cutting down on that.
That's true.
Sure.
And that's probably more fair.
This kind of goes back to my philosophy, just like with anything. I'm an all or nothing kind of guy. I don't like doing things half-assed. Ass is not a bad word.
It's what?
No. Ass is not a bad word. No. No.
Mark the time, Josh.
No. According to my...
Mark the time.
Okay. I'll write it down. According to my bantam-level hockey coach, it's not a cuss word if it's in the Bible.
I'm just trying to think of dirty words.
I know, right? Oh, we definitely abused it. He got us to read the Bible, so...
Fornicator.
We were looking for inappropriate words from there. Yeah, I understand it can be exploited. It's not a perfect.
Yeah, but science. I don't think when you said half-assed, you meant half-donkeyed.
That's right.
Hmm. Could be.
Dropped an A-bomb.
Maybe.
But
in any case, because the practicality of all this, we can argue about the morality and the semantics and, you know, whether it's right or wrong or not. At the end of the day, the reason that we're even considering this and talking about this is because we were trying to stop the spread and or the spread of a virus that doesn't care about your rights. It doesn't care about
where you get it.
Morality. It doesn't. Right, exactly. So it needs to come down to fact-based science on this. And when you look at this, without, like you said, things are opening up in Kootenai County. You've got going to the mall. If we shut down everything, then, yeah, playgrounds need to be a part of that too. It doesn't make sense to have playgrounds open if we can't.
But if...
Go to the bar or something like that. But... If one playground does it, then it's kind of a moot point to close another one.
Well, and if it's just playgrounds because of the technicality.
Also, sure. Because also, it's not something arbitrary.
Somebody forgot it. Like, that's probably part of it is like a typo somewhere.
That's even a separate issue on that. It's common knowledge that Idaho has been praised by, regardless whether you agree with it or not, Idaho has been praised for its strategy in reopening since its lockdown.
We did receive some White House praise for that.
We did. It's a good strategy that's kind of been adopted by other states as well.
Right.
Granted, different ways. Like, they put their own spin on it based on their state. But it's, a four-stage plan, that kind of thing, that this strategy has been kind of adopted.
Mixed feelings on Brad Little, but I feel like he approached this in a way that was... He didn't ever do anything stupid.
He
never did anything that made him, like... There are governors currently that are, like, easy to mock
mm-hmm.
because of decisions they've made.
Sure.
He...
Arbitrary knee-jerk reactions.
Yes.
Whereas I feel like Little has not done that once here. Not arbitrary, but no knee-jerks.
Right.
Arbitrary, and we'll get into that in the sense, we'll talk on this just a slight bit. When it comes down to stage fours, or the stages, I feel like the set qualifications in each one were... I just didn't like that it was set by type. You know, like, it should be more based on numbers. Like, any business that you can't have more than 5 or 10 people, or, you know, however that number, that's fine. Because, again, going back to just straight science about it, COVID-19 does not care if there's 20 people at Walmart, 20 people at church, 20 people at the bar.
That's what Corey Birdie told me when he and I talked when stage 1 first happened.
It doesn't care where you are. It doesn't
care where you are.
Right, exactly. It's all about numbers. So in my perfect world, it would have been more like stage 1 opens up businesses that allow 1 to 5 people inside, you know? And if you can't run your business with that number, then you stay. And then at stage 2, 5 to 10 or whatever arbitrary, you know.
I would go, you know, 10 to 15.
Sure.
Or 15 it's, or under.
Just for the sake of argument, I was just going up in increments. Sure. But that's totally, that makes a little more sense to me. Where, like, say your business, okay, we've got these social distancing guidelines, like 6 feet, all of this, da 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 da. If you can do all of this in stage 1, you can have 1 to 5. And then go to stage 2, you can go, okay, if you can still do all these things, you can go 10 to 20 or whatever.
Am I more worried about getting COVID-19 in Walmart or at Prospect Fitness?
Right.
Sure.
So but then my question is, like, in the types of businesses on stage 1, give me an example of a stage 1 business that would have more than a couple people. Because I don't have a list,
well,
but I
know you guys covered it. So a controversial one here in the Valley has been bars. So for example, if proper social distancing was observed and there was a way to check it, I mean, for example, you know, local bars have had cops called on them already for just checking in to see if they weren't.
And that was for gatherings up to 10, right?
Correct. So,
stage 1 was gatherings up to 10.
In my little perfect world here, if, say, in a Dirty Dog Saloon, Eddie Joe's, whatever the bar be, if they could do 5 people in the bar while keeping proper social distancing, they can open.
Well, that's, and 9 people in a bar with a bartender.
Sure, and I'm just using arbitrary numbers here, like, right. Just for the easy math kind of thing.
9 people in a bar with a bartender still does a business pretty well. I
mean,
a bar business,
sure, can, and you can.
Yeah,
and
that's
then,
what I was just asking, because I was wondering if they were trying to fit it into that. But again, you can't cover all the bases. But if you go, because you can pick numbers, mm-hmm. but then people can push that,
like,
and
I'd
manipulate
be,
it really
I'd
easily.
Be, it's less situational based. So for an extreme example, say like Silver Mountain booked a famous musician to come to the area. Okay, if they're like, you can hold this. I don't know why Brad Paisley is the first one that comes to mind, but
it's,
yeah, I don't
love Brad Paisley.
I guess me and Brad.
We all know why.
We all go way back. Whomever, whatever musical artist goes up there.
O-Town.
Sure.
Shit, yeah. Son of a... I'm sorry, I can't...
I'm just going to mark that down. Here we go.
You should just start beeping them.
29, 15.
You
want to
take that again?
All right. Nope, that's all good. Okay, sorry about that. All good. If you could... So you can have this concert, but you can only have 10 to 20 people, and you have to follow these guidelines.
Right.
And if they want to do that, they probably won't, because they want more than 20 people there. But that's, in my eyes, like, it doesn't matter what the activity is.
Right.
It just matters if you're following these rules.
So that segues perfectly into my point about liability.
Mm-hmm.
So in your example, if you know that there's a virus that spreads pretty easily between people,
yep.
and you know, the minimum 6-foot requirement, which,
yep.
that's such an arbitrary number, because assuming that the virus, I mean, we've filled this room up a million times over with the stuff that we've exhaled since we've been in here, which,
uh-huh.
is a disgusting thought.
I don't want to think about
but
that.
But aerosols are gross.
Uh-huh.
So the 6-foot distance means absolutely nothing. But if you go to something like that during a time like this,
uh-huh.
you should be able to absolved of liability if you are the group hosting and you make it very clear that this is what the environment is.
Uh-huh.
If you choose to come, you choose to come. But if you choose not to come because
so,
of fun.
Circling
and
right back to the parks.
A park, I mean, wouldn't assumed liability for a park in the COVID-19 situation be the same thing as, you know, outside of faulty equipment? I'm talking rusty nails,
mm-hmm.
broken merry-go-rounds, things like that. If a kid's on a piece of playground equipment, and he falls and breaks his arm, is the city liable for that?
This goes back to the spread, because you can't spread a broken arm, but if my kid gets sick, okay, like, city of Kellogg, you effed up.
Right. You are responsible for this.
For
because,
that thing,
yes.
But then all of a sudden, if somebody contracts COVID, then you're responsible for whoever else gets it.
But the same assumed liability going, You know, if your kid goes to a playground, there's a reasonable chance that they could get hurt. If your kid goes to a playground during this time, there's a reasonable chance that there's already been someone there who is ill.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't understand how the city, like, I see the difference between what you were saying. You're not wrong.
Sure.
The difference between a broken arm and a virus is you can't spread a broken arm. But the assumed liability logic should be the same following.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
there's yeah. Oh, yeah. You catch it. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. A visual, but put up a sign that says, play at your own risk. If you get COVID-19, the city's not responsible.
Could I sue Walmart?
And seeing that's the $1 million question that I don't.
Fred Meyer.
I mean, a legal person would need to be in here to like talk about, because it's a very unique situation where, I mean, I would assume no. I would assume no.
If this week hits and that playground doesn't open.
Because it's not something.
It's going to be 91 degrees on Saturday, Chance. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like, I know it's crazy, but if the parks aren't open on Saturday, on arguably what's going to be the hottest, most beautiful day of the year mm-hmm. that we've had, and they're not open, you are going to see people do something, I'm not saying violent, but stupid.
Well, and we're coming up on stage phase 3 anyway, which again doesn't really answer any questions because we don't know phase 3 opens or closes, keeps playgrounds closed.
So, real quick, I mean, we're pushing time here.
Yep, let's sum it up.
What if you had to pick one of these, which one would you pick? Pick one of the three options.
Yeah. In a perfect world, we'd keep it closed if everything else stayed closed. But with how everything is progressing right now, I mean, there's open it because there's no point in.
Open it with social distancing or no restrictions?
No restrictions.
Monica? Modazzle?
I'm going to say that I think it should follow all the other rules of everybody else. And I'm saying that because I don't have kids. I'm not going to be at a park, so I really don't care if kids are playing at the park. At the same time, I'm an adult, so if I'm worried about the gross kids at the gross park going to the grocery store and getting their germs, then I should limit my visits to the grocery store and take responsibility for that. So I say, why not follow the rules, the same exact rules as everything else, keep it consistent, it's easy to remember, and then that way you really don't have an excuse. So I say open it with restrictions.
So I agree with that. I think it's just... I agree with that. It's just a moot point because I feel like...
It's her logic is completely...
Right, it is. That is fantastic logic,
the
yes.
The problem is we live in a world where people are like, yeah, but my rights say you're wrong.
Yeah.
I voted initially, like I said, my 30, or my one is the 31 there. I'm going to go with no restrictions as well because, quite frankly, like I'll tell you right now, this Saturday, if I go to take my kids to a park...
Mm-hmm.
And it's still taped up.
Sure.
I'm going to go to Coeur d'Alene, and I'm going to let them play there. And they're going to go play with all the
Coeur d'Alene kids. It's just human nature, yeah.
Why don't you just take them... Sorry, I won't attack you, but, like, there are so many other things you could do besides play at a park here.
Right, but then, like the little kids, when they like to play at the park... I mean, even my 12-year-old likes to play at the park still. He'll go and play on the stuff at the park.
Yeah, but if we live in this place, like, where we can find other options... I'm saying, sure. Like, if you live in, like, a city... Like a city, not like a Coeur d'Alene city, and you didn't have options, I would be like, I understand, we need the park.
Sure.
But I'm like, here, like, the world is your playground, so, like, you have different options. But you are going to run into a lot of people who have the same idea, so...
Right. Playgrounds are tailored to kids.
Again, right. Kids are going to be
more prone to wanting to go to a playground than go for a walk on the trail.
Right.
Or...
So... There's your social commentary.
There it is. If you want to weigh in on this discussion, it's still very much alive on that post on our Facebook
comments
page.
Comments are still active. We take personal messages. We'd be happy to...
We could even talk. Yeah, do a little comment.
Bring your personal messages to us.
Bring your mean tweets right here. We'll read your mean tweets.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on next week's show. But no, I think this is kind of a cool... Kind of weighing it out there, getting just opinions and
yep.
Clearing the air,
sure.
I guess.
Well, and kind of one of the things I wanted to have on this is we would all, even if we all, you know, say we all agree on something, I think it's very important that we show all sides of an argument.
Right.
You know, and we present it to people so you guys, our listeners, can understand, even if you agree with us or even if you disagree with us, you understand both sides of a subject.
Like you and I, and I don't know, I mean, I'm assuming Monica because everyone loves Monica. But like we all have really good relationships with the people at the city of Kellogg.
Yes,
like,
we do.
We're not trying to like make you guys feel bad or anything like that. This is just quite simply something we don't agree with the move the city has made here. I think it does more. It opens yourself up for more harm than good.
Sure. Sure. Personally, as Josh McDonald and Chance Watson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So
perfect.
Cool. Well, thanks for tuning into our first
roundtable
discussion. And we're gonna kick it over to our regional headlines here in just a minute. So stay tuned.
Let's do it.
Radio Brewing is open for curbside pickup and delivery on Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. They are offering a limited food menu and canned beer. Please call ahead at 208-786-6633, or you can email them at Brendan, B-R-E-N-D-A-N, at radiobrewingcompany.com. Visit their Facebook page to learn more. Radio Brewing, put radio in your mouth hole.
I'm really stoked for that uptown block party.
You have a long time to wait. Like, that's 5 months away.
I know, but to be completely honest, I'm sure they probably want it in the ad, and we haven't done it yet, so I'm just kind of throwing it in there.
Be sure to look out for their Uptown Throwdown. I can still remember that ad
from, there you like, go.
Back in the day.
And I like it.
Then we got no snow.
Yeah,
so right. It didn't happen.
Ouch.
The lack of snow kind of killed that one.
Ouch.
Regional headlines.
We've moving got right into
good,
it.
Some good ones today.
Yep. You want me to kick it off?
Yeah.
Okay. Coming out of the Coeur d'Alene Post Falls Press by Buell. I tried to combine his name.
Buell Billy.
Bill Buley, my counterpart over at the Coeur d'Alene Press.
Billy. Buell Billy.
Despite restrictions, Memorial Day ceremonies go on at Evergreen Cemetery. I see why you grabbed this one. Despite restrictions, while many Memorial Day ceremonies were canceled due to coronavirus restrictions, the Stephen H. Knipp American Legion Post 143 dug in. It was very important to me that we not cave to political correctness, said Chris Phillips, post commander. Fun fact, Chris Phillips assisted me with getting my grandfather's model airplane collection put up in the American Legion Post in Post Falls.
And that seems to also say that our local Veterans Services did cave to political correctness.
It kind of does insinuate that. Chris is a very strong outspoken person. She's a tough chick.
Oh, Chris is a lady.
Yes.
Gotcha.
She's a tough chick for sure.
She
said they didn't want to do a virtual ceremony because some have trouble finding it online, so they had to figure out a way to maintain Governor Brad Little's social distancing guidelines while honoring veterans at an in-person gathering at Evergreen Cemetery.
Boy, Harder.
Struggling now. They settled on three shorter ceremonies that included a prayer, the playing of taps, a roll call of veterans who died in the past year, and the ringing of the bell. Each attracted about 40 to 50 people. Quote, it took a little bit of haggling back and forth with the city, but it was important to me to do just do more than just get the flags up, Phillips said. What's important to me is to honor those who have fallen in the past year. Early in her address, she asked the crowd at the noon gathering to, quote, keep their distance.
Keep your distance.
With about 750 flags fluttering in the wind on a cool, cloudy day, many came to honor veterans and those who had, quote, paid the ultimate price, made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. We'll never forget, said veteran Bill Carlson.
I like the 21-gun salutes they do, but I guess you probably don't do those in the middle of Coeur d'Alene like you would at, like, Murray Cemetery.
Gunshots are a way of life.
Scare some people.
Fair enough. No, that's a good ceremony. Definitely have no problem with them carrying out these ceremonies. I'm kind of sad that we didn't get to get those good photos and follow
Real
those
quick,
ceremonies here.
Wasn't that last week's regional headline?
No.
No, we were following it up.
Oh, okay.
Like it was a pre-up and then this is the conclusion.
Got it.
That's why I picked it.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
I got to pay attention a little bit more.
You're all good.
You're good.
You got to just roll with it.
All right. Second.
What do you got over there?
Bonner County Daily Bee.
Okay.
Local man accused of ramming motorist.
Who wrote this?
This is by Keith Kennard.
Keith is always pulling out the...
Keith is like laying down the beats. He's like my favorite guy up there. Because he writes the crazy... He is the Bonner County crazy meter. Like
he finds him, huh?
Yeah. What's the water meter called? Like when you're... Like the rain... The thing that collects rain?
The rain gauge?
Yeah, but... The barometer. Oh. He is the barometer for... That's pressure.
Way off
my... He's the barometer barometer for craziness over in Bonner County.
Okay. I dig it.
He always gets to write these things. So, a Bonner County man is facing felony charges for allegedly ramming another motorist twice during a traffic dispute on U.S. Highway 95 last Wednesday. Uh-huh. Motorist told Idaho State Police he was driving southbound in the four-lane commercial corridor in Sagal. He occupied the right-hand lane, and Randolph Stephen Cooper was attempting to merge from the passing lane to the right lane, according to a probable cause affidavit. The motorist sounded his horn to avoid a collision, and Cooper allegedly tailgated him. The motorist moved to the shoulder to allow Cooper's F-350 pickup truck to pass him. Cooper rear-ended the man's Subaru twice and then drove off. The F-350 is big.
Uh-huh.
The collisions were witnessed by two other motorists, and the front license plate from Cooper's truck was found at the scene.
Oh, geez.
According to court documents, Cooper, 68, agreed to be interviewed at the Bonner County Sheriff's Office, where he was arrested, court records indicate. Cooper is charged with aggravated battery and leaving the scene of a collision, both of which are felonies. A preliminary hearing for this case is set for June 10th. If convicted of the battery charge, Cooper faces up to 15 years in prison.
And that's a max. We know he won't serve that.
Leaving the scene of a collision is punishable by up to 5 years in prison, according to the Idaho Code. What?
I'd say he probably gets a year or two.
Is it really worth a year or two?
No. No, it's not. I'm just saying.
Like, are some crimes where you're like, well, it's a cool crime.
like that kid last week, the kid with a decent amount of weed.
Yeah, a decent amount of weed and the loaded BB pistol that looked real.
Some alcohol.
Some booze.
Look, some people don't make smart decisions,
No license plates.
This guy was like, hey, I got no license plates either because I left one of them at the scene of the crime where I specifically went out of my way to rear-end a man who had pulled over. Like, it wasn't like this was in traffic and, like bumping the guy to get him to go or something like that. Like, he pulled over with the guy, and, like, this was, like, a show of force. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. This is why I would never go to Bonner County. It's just crazy up there. But I love Bonner County.
Yeah.
Sandpoint's awesome.
Love Sandpoint. I've got Ken over in Priest River.
Allegedly. They're the craziest people in the world.
So I'm saying, not allegedly. I know I've got family.
You were saying he allegedly had kin, and I'm like, excuse me.
Yeah, no, I like.
Who are you to say?
Fairly certain
who is
that's...
related to him.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know who I am. Who are you to say that? I don't know.
Who are you? What do you do?
It's my
what
rights.
What do you mean? What do you got?
Daily Interlake.
Oh yeah.
Written by Scott Schindeldecker.
Ah, Mr. Schindeldecker.
With the same letter first and last name with these guys.
Keith Kennard, Bill Bewley, Scott Schindler.
They were all characters written by Stan Lee.
And Chance and I are just over here in
the Oddballs.
Oddball land.
Scott's boss is J. Jonah Jameson.
I want Spider-Man now!
All right.
You're welcome.
You gotta give me a heads
up. Scott's listening. He's like, we definitely don't.
Hold on, Monica. I'm going to do an impression.
Buckle up.
Scott's like, we definitely don't have Spider-Man here.
Okay.
Yes.
I got it. You're good. Go.
Obviously, because the headline, a police seek person in alleged drive-by shooting.
No.
Yes.
It wasn't a BB gun, was it?
No. Kalispell Police Department is searching for a person who allegedly committed a drive-by shooting Sunday evening. According to information from the department, officers responded to a motel on the southeast side of Kalispell for a report of shots fired. No one was injured in the shooting, and police are trying to find the person who is believed to be the shooter. Quote, we think we know who it is after speaking with the people who were shot at, Kalispell Police Captain Jim Wardensky said.
What does that mean?
We don't believe it's a random thing. We believe one person was targeted. Wardensky said the incident was not drug-related. Fortunately, no one was injured, but we are concerned for the safety of people. We are working to try and find the alleged shooter as soon as possible, he said in a quote. Police ask if anyone has information about this incident to call Detective Shane Lindstrom. Love that name. Last name, my favorite hockey player. Lindstrom at 758-7858 or Wardensky at 758-7794. Information can also be provided to Crime Stoppers at 752-8477. Area codes are not included in this, so I apologize.
406.
406, probably? Okay.
Yeah. I am a little confused by their statement. They know why. Like, racially motivated, you think? Or like,
no, it doesn't.
Gang? Not drugs.
It's possible. It's not drugs.
It's not drugs.
We know what it's, we know what it's not.
So, these things, drive-by shootings, gangs, race. If it's not drugs, it's usually one of those two.
How many playgrounds are shut down over there?
Yeah. No, everything's open in Montana.
Yeah.
Little kid
gangs. I was just saying, little kid gangs?
Little kid gangs.
Could be any COVID kid gangs.
Open my playground! Sorry, not to devalue drive-by shootings. It doesn't sound like anyone died, though, right? It was an attempt.
No, no one was hit.
Still very scary.
Still very scary. Yeah, I wouldn't be okay with it. Still, yeah.
Just getting real...
Somebody shoots at my place, they're getting return fire.
Real, real hood up in Kalispell.
Something like that.
All right, Monica.
What do you got?
Oh, well, I got this.
Headline.
Where's this
headline?
Out of?
This is out of the Coeur d'Alene / Post Falls Press.
Perfect. And what's the headline?
You have to read it.
Inaugural COVID Invitational set for June 9th.
Very clever headline. And who was this written by?
This is Devin Weeks. Devin. Gotta
love
get that
Devin.
Last name game. Devin.
She's a Devin Deeks. She's sweet.
Oh, because we're going with the alliteration.
Oh, yes.
I apologize.
I went to college with her.
Just assuming gender there, that's not.
I did that with Chris earlier.
God, sorry.
I know a few Ronnies and Tonys like that, too.
Ronnies and Tonys and yeah. Chris and Pat and...
Devin.
Devin is a cute girl. Yeah. All right, cool. So, some local businessmen who are kind of golf buddies are going to take a swing at a new kind of fundraiser.
Yes.
So Dustin Ainsworth is a marketing representative with Kootenai Title, and he said that he and seven friends are going to participate in this three-course 54-hole golf-a-thon to raise funds for COVID, which is a local nonprofit that's going to support folks in the food service industry and the hospitality industries.
No, I don't want to interrupt you there.
Yeah.
So the golf course is called, or the golf competition is called COVID, but this is for CDAID.
Oh, I'm sorry, Josh.
You're okay. I just want to make sure that people don't get confused. CDAID is pretty... It's pretty popular, mm-hmm. pretty well known, mm-hmm. But COVID.
I get it. Tie-in. Okay, so the tournament's called
COVID,
but the group is called CDA.
They will not be serving Kool-Aid at COVID for CDA.
I feel like you're gonna start rapping. Thanks for catching me on that.
You're good. Keep going.
So let's see here. I'm gonna pick it up right here. Okay, so the inaugural COVID 54 Invitational will take place June 9th, commencing at 6 a.m. Oh my god, so early. At the Coeur d'Alene Public Golf Club.
Wow! No, she's not wrong. A 54-hole golf tournament that starts at 6 in the morning?
And then they're gonna move to Avondale in Hayden.
Okay.
That's ritzy. That's uptown.
Yeah.
I've skated on Avondale Lake, fun fact.
Always.
Oh, wow.
When it froze.
It's bougie. My sister got married at Avondale. She's very fancy.
Ritzy.
Yeah.
There you go.
So they're going to move to Avondale at 10:30, and they're going to finish the day at Hayden Lake Country Club with the final holes at 3:30 p.m. That is such a big day of golf. Ainsworth said, "This has never been done in our community. I thought, what a great opportunity to challenge ourselves and turn it into a fundraiser, raise some awareness for CDAID, raise some money, and see if we could pull this off." So the players are seeking $1 per hole pledges, so $54 minimum, and they're trying to raise at least $8,000. But Ainsworth said that they can probably do better than that. I agree with him.
Yeah.
So those who pledge to donate can also choose to pitch in more for every par, birdie. So you're raising a little bit more money for the better you play. And then aside from Ainsworth, There are a couple other players. There's a big list, but some of these players
they're
like companies.
They're realtors and kind of people who work in the real estate world.
So you've got like Numerica, Coldwell Banker,
Mountain West.
There we go.
Yeah.
Also Coldwell Banker, that's on there twice.
It's pretty cool.
So as realtors, let's see. Oh, I didn't mention this person by name. Who am I talking about here?
Oh, you're talking about Danny Butler.
There we go. Danny Butler, he's part of the group that's going to be playing. So he says, as realtors, the community we live in means everything to us, and service workers are a huge part of our community. That is 100% true. Nobody has been affected more by the pandemic than them. Hopefully this is a small way we can give back.
Yeah, that's a cool story. I think service workers, not only are they, like mentioned, they're kind of at the center of all this, but they're also like magnets for like the worst abuse out of all of this, because the mean people who are upset about this and unwilling to be reasonable with anything
take
their frustrations out on service workers. We've seen it time and time again. I mean, we've seen the videos where people have like spit on other people or like licked them in like grocery stores, like trying to be like defiant. There was one where they licked a guy, and then this dude came out of the deli that he was working in and just smashed this dude. Like, I've never cheered for another human being to punch another human being more in my life. So, yeah. No, it's pretty cool.
That's
awesome. What else we got? What do we got? We got, that's it for the...
That's it for regionals.
Oh, well, hold on. I need to tell you, if you're looking for fine furnishings, flooring, and appliances for your home, please visit Twin City Furniture. Owner Mike Pierce has been serving the Silver Valley for decades, and at Twin City Furniture, you'll always find quality furniture at an affordable price, as well as friendly and reliable service. Stop in and see Mike at 110 McKinley Avenue in Uptown Kellogg.
You know who shops at Twin City Furniture?
Chance doesn't. He just wins lamps and auctions from there.
I do.
That's interesting. Multiple lamps. I was going to say my dad shops there.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's a stylish guy, so.
My mom bought a couch, a really nice, like, square corner couch.
I'm looking for a new couch now. I need to go up there and check it out.
Check it out. Twin City. Yeah. My dad loves that.
Carrie's dad's like always up there helping out too. So if you ever want to just hang out with Art, Art's like the nicest guy in the world.
Cool.
Dude, this podcast has been sweet. I love that we're experimenting with other stuff.
I do too. We are, like we've mentioned before in the past, we're coming up on the year mark, so we might be making some, I don't want to say changes because everybody freaks out about that, but yeah.
Alterations.
I like that.
Adjustments.
I like that.
Adjustments.
Adjustments even sounds kind of negative.
Additions. Yeah.
We're gonna be mixing it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I think we've got all these new features. We're your beloved Shoshone News Press is always at the forefront of every change because Chance and I have a willingness to
embrace new things,
to try anything at least once, and sometimes that gets us in trouble. Other times it's
benefit.
Makes our website cooler, and we add polling features.
Seems like you guys appreciate that. I mean, for a poll that was only up for 4 days, it had over 140 votes on it, and the posts themselves on Facebook have sparked lots of discussion.
It's like two guys who want to do a podcast, and nobody thought it would work, and it's worked.
And here it is.
Here we are.
And here it is. So a
third person who is equally podcast passionate.
Yes.
And is like this super awesome ratings grab for us.
Yes. Shout out to Monica again. Thank you for coming in at the moment, and we're excited to be even expanding your reach here on the podcast.
Yeah, just gonna reach right in.
She's gonna. Maybe someday we'll even get her own microphone.
I love shouting at this one.
Yeah, you don't like it when I shout, though.
I don't mind when you shout. I just need to know. I just need to know when it's going to happen.
I know.
I'm going to brace for it.
Well, that was my J. Jonah Jameson rage.
I like that.
And rage is our Ron Swanson Pyramid of Greatness segment today. Rage. One rage every 3 months is permitted. Try not to hurt anyone who doesn't deserve it.
That's off of the Ron Swanson Pyramid of Greatness.
Pyramid of Greatness.
I would say if rage could kind of be like translated into depression, I'm hitting that rage, that 3 month goal every 3 months. We're nailing it.
And officially the saddest thing that's ever happened.
That's fine. It happens to everybody.
One depression every 3 months.
That's about when it hits, yeah. It's okay. Like a seasonal thing.
Oh, sad.
Sad.
Seasonal affective disorder.
I don't see that on the pyramid.
No, in fact, I'm going to assume that quite the opposite. What does he say? Things like clear liquors are for
women on diets.
Yeah. So there was something else too. He doesn't agree with depression though either.
No, something like that. I can't remember what it is.
Ron Swanson.
Old Ron Swanson is right.
But no, this has been fun. I think adding the round table. I hope you guys like it. If you guys hate it, keep it to yourself.
No, let us know. We won't do it again.
Send us a private message. Don't put it anywhere. Don't put it on Apple Podcasts. Go there. Subscribe. Rank us. Give us a 5-star.
Yep. And if you have any ideas on what you'd like to hear, please let us know. If there's a segment or something that you hear from another podcast that you like our take on it, let us know.
I feel like we've only had one official review, but we've only had like one suggestion ever. And I think that was one that like Carrie came up with. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't even one from someone. Mm-hmm. So we really need someone to.
We want to hear your input.
We even panicked and thought people might think we were mansplaining the news. So we brought in Monica.
That's the only reason I'm here.
Yes, that is the only reason why
Monica's here. That's not really it, but.
No, not really. No. If you could. Yeah, sometimes maybe sarcasm can't be translated over podcasts.
We really need to make sure that's not.
Everybody's like, there's a direct quote right there.
They're like, oh, their editor believes that he should be mansplaining the news, and they only brought Monica in to pinking up the newsroom,
just
you know?
Just to take that out of context.
Yeah. Just to add that other chromosome there, you know?
Perfect.
No. This has been fun. But hey, once again, it is a great time to sell your house because inventory is low. And Julie Zook with Silver Legacy Realty is a lifelong resident of the Silver Valley. She's a local realtor who's connected and knows every nook and cranny of our beautiful community. She's also my girlfriend. Contact Julie at 208-659-1764. Julie Zook is your best friend in real estate.
And with that,
love you, Julie.
Yep. We told everybody. Did we tell everybody to like, comment, and share all of our stuff?
Kind of.
Write something nice.
Write something nice.
Please subscribe if you're listening in on a certain podcatcher. Shout out to our Player FM listeners. That's by far our largest segment.
I didn't even know that was like a thing around here.
Nope. It's where people. We've got people listening. Shout out to the people who are listening on our website. We have a good segment listening from there on our Buzzsprout site. And
that adorable name, as Monica put it last week.
It's so great. I love it.
Buzzsprout, the cutest name in podcasting.
Awesome. All right, everybody. We will talk to you next week.